parlo italiano.
So I'm trying to talk as much as louder. Do you hear me? Yeah. Okay. My English is not perfect, so please forgive me if you find some errors or whatever. I'm a PhD in interactional psychology in Rome University, where I focus with my PhD in a complete diverse environment, the residential care communities for out-of-home children. But now, with Professor Letizia Caronia, I'm working on a fantastic research dealing about doctor-doctor interactions. These are our preliminary findings, and especially what we are going to discuss with you today is our first attempt to look at sequences and action within medical case conferences, and in particular the morning briefing that physicians attending each day before doing the round of the ward. Our aim today with you is to better understand how this team of professionals adopting an extreme policy, in some time I will show you what this policy is, are accomplishing it one interaction at a time. For this reason, we choose to adopt the conversation analytic approach. Today, my presentation will be divided into three main parts. First one, trying to find sequence and action within medical case conference. And then I will show you three excerpts coming from the Keiko study. The Keiko study was an ethnographic site chose for many reasons, but one of them was the fact that they adopt an extreme policy toward infection and in particular toward the antibiotic treatment. And later on, I will be pleased to discuss with you today some ideas we have on the topic. So, prescribing antibiotic today is really a tough challenge. As Tanya Stivers already showed us, the risk in over or even improper prescription of antibiotic really dramatically changed the way that physicians are prescribing antibiotic today, because essentially the fact is that antibiotic in overprescribed could make the arise of the multidrug bacteria, which they are supposed to fight, and in this respect, there is a huge debate on it, and you will see here some UK recent poster on the matter. But today we are going to discuss with you how really one type of action which is really challenging for us. I don't know if the name is correct. Well, it's our idea, so we're going to share it with you, because some of the action medical team draw upon are not located where they are supposed to be. We call to label these kinds of action as dissonant. And so they appear not to be located in the structurally provided locals. For example, in the report phase, where physicians are going to report the inpatient status updated till the most recent moment, someone is doing an assessment or a deciding action. So, I mean, that's we were really impressed by these kinds of action embedded within the medical talk, and we want to discuss it with you. Our field work, which has been conducted by Letizia Caronia and other outstanding researchers such as Marco Pino, and I'm so glad to discuss with him today also. It was made in an intensive care unit where normally physicians have to deal with death and life issues all the time, and they have to prescribe antibiotic, but how? The project was a quantitative one involving more than 40 intensive care units in Italy, and especially four were selected for the ethnographic study. Keiko, which has high rate of infectious disease, but a low rate of multidrink bacteria, so it was considered a well word in terms of ecology, follow the off-label policy, which both the members of CECU and even their colleague call it off-label and call it the watch-and-stay approach. So what does it mean, the watch-and-stay approach? Basically, it means that, I'm arriving. You have to, when you find that there's an infectious state probably going on, the watch-and-stay approach choose to select only the definite therapy for proven infection and intervene with the antibiotic treatment only when it is clear that there's an infection going on and where it is and what are the germs responsible for it. And it's completely off-label compared to the international evidence-based medicine on it. So it's really a risky, as we can label it, therapy, and even a challenging one. These two professional cultures are traceable in the ways that practitioners participate in the events institutionally provided for taking decision between physicians, which in our study was the morning briefing. Its overall structure, as far as we know from literature and even from investigation, was divided into three main sequences, going from the report, where the night physician informs on the subjective and objective status of the patient, meaning what the patient is complaining about, or in our cases, the patient is not going to tell anything because normally is on a coma, so the relatives are going to saying how is going, and the objective status of the patient, meaning the physical examination's results. Then the assessment sequence is where physicians normally evaluate the patient's status and making a diagnosis. And the plan sequence is where they are going to collectively, possibly, decide future steps to be taken. These structures is consistent even with the SOAP acronym, which is an oral and written medical reporting format, internationally known, and it's an acronym for subjective status, assessment, and plan. The structure of the morning briefing appeared to be a flexible canvas. We saw that the boundaries of each phases are in fact highly permeable, and participants even break out then, referring to prior activity or going to future ones. Data we are about to show you are explicitly focused on the morning briefing where physicians have to talk about the infection going on. If it's there, if it's not, why, where it is, and so on. So our first excerpt, and you will find on your handout, is within the reports sequence where the night physician, which is the guy on your right-hand side of the picture, is delivering the updated status of the patient and to the whole team, which is composed mainly by physician and even by a nurse, which we will focus on later. And the main recipient appears to be the responsible clinician, which is the one who decided to adopt the watch and stay approach. So, going to the excerpt here, is then doing a lot of things, but the first thing that really impressed us was at line 8 and 9, when after delivering some new information about the patient, which is Gagliotta, which is his surname, the surname of the patient, saying that he's a boy in his 24th day, and the news is it's 3 days now, he has fever spikes with shaking tremors, which is an index of an infection going on, is saying, after a repair in line 7, he's saying, in my modest opinion, it was not a withdrawal symptom because, and we found it as a proposed I proposed to our dissonant action hypothesis because is inserting an assessment-like action within the report sequence where it's normally, where it is expected to deliver only information about the patient. So let's have a look at how it is delivered. In my modest opinion, it's a first position assessment, and it has an account going on after this. And in the but the thing that really would impress us was also the fact that he's saying, in my modest opinion, at the same time he's doing an assessment, but even downgrades it because he's going to refer only to a personal opinion. And with this action, with the dissonant action, is confuting the diagnosis of a withdrawal symptom caused by medicine, and at the same time is proposing what Tanya Stivers call a candidate diagnosis of an infection going on. And even his account from line 10 to 13 index a lot of medical data, even repeated, and even an impacting lexical choice when he choose to say his temperature jumped from 38 to 39 and a half. It is interesting also the way the responsible clinician respond to it, only with an acknowledgement, not continuative in character, in line 15, and in basically signal the close of the sequence. After that, the ninth physician goes on with the report, stating the objective status of the patient. Let me give 1 second just to. Okay, here we are. So, could be, in my modest opinion, a dissonant action. And precisely, what is it doing in the right here, right now? Well, after proposing and confuting this diagnosis, is narrowing the field towards infection in order to make more relevant an infection going on, and with this projecting the treatment option with antibiotic. In general, we saw that many actions, dissonant action, sorry, appears when they want to resist the off-label therapeutic line of the word. In our second excerpt, we found a dissonant action coming on from the case manager, which is the only nurse that can participate in the CAICU, which is one of the only, sorry, not the only one, going participating in the morning briefing. Here we have another night physician that has already delivered the report, and we are in the plan sequence where normally physician have to decide what to do next. And here they were talking about two main diagnostic options. From one side, they are not sure, but they suppose the infection is located within the lung, so it's pneumonia going on. But on the other side, some physician are really concerned about the fact that the location of the infection couldn't be in the lung, but in the abdomen, and namely, which means peritonitis going on, which is far more threatening and far more treatment implicative in terms of antibiotic. So there are these two options going on, and but they didn't choose what to adhere to, and the responsible clinician from line 1 to 4 is delivering his plan, saying that he had to intervene. Let's lower a bit the PEEP. The PEEP is a mechanical value deal with the mechanical ventilator. Okay, right? And so he decided to intervene on the device, and we need to begin the antibiotic and understand where the infection is in order to delay the antibiotic treatment. One of the informal protocol of the watch and stay approach is, if you are not sure where the infection is, you have to assess it 24 hours later. So we found a lot in our data, this practice of delaying the therapy. But after the plan sequence, the case manager with a self-selective turn in line six said, yesterday chest is negative. What is negative yesterday chest? Referring to the fact that the X-ray chest said that there weren't an infection within the lung. All right, and this is what we call a dissonant action, because she's already she's providing an information that they already know. We saw it online before, and with doing this informing sequence within the plan, this informing action within the plan sequence, we saw that there was sort of effort to another time again to make relevant the more treatment implicative hypothesis rather than the other one. After that, the responsible clinician make only an acknowledgement as before in line nine, and then the night physician adhere to the closing sequences and goes on with the other next patient. So are we in front of a dissonant action? Probably yes, but what is she doing when she's trying to orient the diagnostic with the dissonant action? Well, she downgrades the pneumonia hypothesis in favor of the peritonitis one, and she's projecting another time again the treatability with antibiotic, resisting the watch and stay approach. Our third excerpt. Okay. Probably I don't have time for the third. Let's go to conclusion so that we can discuss. Okay, thanks. Here we are again into a planned sequence, and the responsible clinician is delivering his option for future exams. In particular, from line one to four, he's performing the watch and stay approach again, saying, I would wait the blood culture, which is a test, saying where the infection is, to see if the central venous catheter gave us some problem. Because his hypothesis is that the infection was linked to the fact that the patient was intubated, is it right in English? Okay, and not from an internal source of the infection. The case manager, again, in line six, is trying to, with a concept formulated in the interrogative way, is trying to put a doubt, saying, even if the central catheter was of the 27th, so 6 days before, it was of the 27th of September, again, a trouble source question, we already saw it. What? That catheter we took off, it was recent. So she's even informing and then qualifying the information delivered in saying that the insertion of the catheter was really recent and not consistent with the infection still going on. But the thing that really impressed us with this excerpt was the collective work that the attending physician and the night physician are doing after the dissonant action, because they are collectively constructing the case as it was treatable. They say that this infection going on would be consistent with an internal source rather than the catheter, because it went on with this bike, even if he has no device on at the moment. And this normally is an index of an internal source of infection rather than an infection linked to the external device. So it was reasoned, could be a dissonant action. We don't know, but surely she's doing a report like action in providing an information and qualifying it, and she downgrades with this action the CVC cause infection in favor of a more internal one. And she make relevant, as we saw before, a more treatment implicative diagnosis that is linked to the antibiotic treatment. So trying to sum up, with this paper we would like to outline the forms and functions of what we propose to call dissonant action. They appear not to be located where they are institutionally expected to be, not aligned with the sequence main activity, but they are not repaired or sanctioned in any way. So probably they belong to this kind of morning briefing. And with this action, participants are doing nothing more than daily professional identities. Doctors are, if you could refer to the first excerpt we show, are in fact just assessing the patient status. But the thing that really impressed us was how the nurses are using dissonant actions in order not to do doctor's job, but to orient the diagnostic trajectory in order to give physicians some other resources to make a diagnosis. So in doing so, they are orienting the diagnosing, but without entering the epistemic territory of physicians. And in Keiku study, precisely there, dissonant action that use to, or what we call dissonant action, are used to make a more treatment implicative trajectory and to resist the watch and stay approach. Thank you for your attention, and I really hope to hear about your feedback on our hypothesis.
Thank you very much. Okay, good time for observations, questions, thoughts. Robert Dickle.
Really just a suggestion. Have you come across Rich Frankel's work in the States?
Not yet.
It's worth looking at because he's taken a broadly similar approach to overnight case conferences and reporting, and finds quite interesting differences in outcome according to speaker order. It's sort of published in slightly odd places, but it's certainly worth tracking down because it's very much in parallel with stuff we're doing.
Okay,
thank you.
There's a question there, yes.
Hi, Katie Wing. I was wondering, you said it was an ethnographic study. I was wondering how you are using these findings in relation to other sources of data, whether you also did interviews and how that relates to some of these findings.
Okay, I didn't conduct the study, the ethnographic study, by myself, but it was linked with the fact that the overall project deals with relationship between the nosocomial treatment of infection and the practical one. So all of this bunch of data of this conversational taking place in the most risky environment, such as Keiku, was really, as far as I know, important because is informing about how you can behave the watch and stay approach, and how you can link this organizational and social way of adopting it into the local world of the local ecology of the world, meaning that there's a strong relationship between how the world is how the infection within the world are managed and how the talk is managed about that. So this was really one of the main assets that this study is worth it.
Okay. Ruth, you have a question?
I did. I really like that, the second part of the conclusions that you've got there around the kind of identities playing out, as it were, through this kind of talk. But I guess I would want to question your idea of calling them dissonant actions for a couple of reasons. One, it's a very, very broad term. And I remember being on a workshop and being roundly scolded by Jean Lerner, a bit less by Galena Bolden, about, you know, using these very broad terms. And you can start then collecting things you think about without really being analytic enough. And that may be slightly problematic here. And one of my thoughts is, it seems to me one way of thinking of what's going on is that people, needs a diagram really, but people, what they're doing is they're going back a phase, yeah? And you can sort of see that in each of your examples, and then rerunning it. And the nurses clearly are doing that in a particular way to take them both back, then that it can play out towards perhaps a different conclusion. And I think that might be an analytically somewhat more specific way of thinking about it than dissonant actions, because, I mean, yeah, we all do dissonant actions all the time, and there's just a million of them. And I think you might want to just get a bit tighter in your sort of descriptive terminology. And that going back in phases, Marco doesn't mind me doing a little advert, we're sort of seeing that in the interactions that we're looking at as a way of just redoing something until you get to it, and different people will kind of go back and get it running again.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Kevin.
I think that it would be quite interesting to see these examples juxtaposed with instances where a recommendation is made to treat with antibiotics, or a diagnosis of a treatable infection is made. Because these look to be alternatives to those actions, possibly by people who aren't entitled to make those actions or perform those actions. But I think that they belong together in a kind of a system where, you know, we would want to see them next to each other and think of them as alternatives to each other. Because it looks like there's a lot of work going on by these people not to produce a diagnosis of a particular infection that requires antibiotics. And so, but then I would want to see, does it look so fraught when a doctor makes that diagnosis? Or do they just sort of say, this patient needs antibiotics, and then it's just very simple? Or is it also complicated and fraught on labor? So I think it would be quite nice to look at those together.
Okay, thanks. Well, for the first excerpt, for example, if I get your point, the night physician is entitled to make some evaluation because he's a physician, after all. They are not junior or whatever. I mean, they are on the same, they are of the same organizational team member. But yes, they, I mean, there's this sort of alternatives. They are always saying, they are always fighting about there's an infection or not, or the infection is in lung or in the abdomen. So yes, it could be better to look at alternatives as you suggest. Thanks.
Right, you better stop there. Thank you once again, Martha.